Father God of heaven, we love your son. Jesus, we love you. Hallelujah. I feel your mighty anointing, God, and your mighty quickening. I love you, Jesus, for all that you've done for me. And I love you, Jesus, for all that you've done for my people and the way that you've spared us through the years, Jesus. I love you. I love you for your goodness. I love you for your blessings. I love you for your kindness. I love you for remembering me. I love you for what you did at Calvary. I love you, Jesus. I love you. I love you, oh God, and I trust that I will please you with all of my life and with all of my heart. Help me, Lord Jesus. Help the people. God, help us reach out around the world. Help us have a desire to reach out around the world that we might help someone. Help those that are oppressed, Father. Those that are cast down. Those that don't feel the wonderful inspiration of Almighty God. Help those people, Father. The hungry, the starving, the sick, the miserable. Oh, God, take away the misery. Take away the misery. Help us to feel the infirmities of the weak that we might be concerned. Heavenly Father, stand with us. Stand with us. Oh God, be with us tonight. Open our understanding. Let us have that eternal life that comes from God. Let us have that eternal blessing, that eternal peace, that eternal security. I ask you tonight to bless us in Jesus' lovely name. I want to say again that we appreciate the pledges and Brother Jimmy's effort to help us in the gospel. It takes so much help, so much finance. It takes an awful lot of effort to be able to do such a little bit. Glad to see Tommy home. Tom, come back. I guess Lynn come with you, huh, Tom? They came back from the boat. They've been down there working and doing without us to the convenience of life and just believing God. And of course, they didn't do without. The Lord met their needs graciously. He was able to work it around to where each man got at least $150 apiece while they were down there, somewhere in the neighborhood of it, unless something has gone wrong. And the Lord blessed them otherwise. But doing without to the extent that some are enjoying life and some are doing nothing for God and some are just, you know, living it up in the flesh. But I know that they've accomplished something because Brother Clyde Cobbs called and told me of some things that they had done even yesterday. And I'm glad to see these people back at home. I like to have them back at home, but we take the boats, the different things that's happened that we're working with as a missionary endeavor to reach people in that era and to do something that might add to our world outreach. A lot of men have contributed to our cause. Brother James Isaac, I see James here tonight. He spent a number of months down on the boat, or weeks down there doing something for God, and day and night there by himself to help us keep the boat while we headed over in New Orleans long before we ever moved to the Galveston or over to Panama City, Florida. Men like James and Brother Dahl and others, Tommy, different ones that help us. Chris just went back to the boat today to be in Panama at the boat while Brother Dahl had to go to Galveston to pick up his car. Different ones working with us, some helping here and some helping there. Everybody contributes to the cause of Christ if they try. I think of one man, maybe he has done quite a bit in self-sacrifice as to one cause, maybe Brother James staying at the boat, maybe Brother Dahl staying at the boat. And then I look at another man, and maybe like Brother Atlee. Brother Atlee excels in another way. He helped build these buildings and work with us and sacrifice. And then we thank Brother Atlee so great. And then we look at another man like Brother Clyde Cobbs. And Brother Clyde Cobbs, he gave his house and his land and all that he owned. You know, and then you go from one to another and you think of the different ones that has made sacrifices and effort. And so many of them has greatly excelled in different realms or eras of their life, doing different things and helping us in different ways. For this, we're very grateful. very thankful that each one can contribute to the cause of the Lord Jesus. I guess Brother Jim has been one of the greatest contributors as to the financial end of it. So far, I don't know of anybody that's excelled him. There's some that's coming in pretty tight and trying to help. But so far, I don't know of anybody that's excelled him. But I thank God for the effort right now, though we don't ask you for it. Very seldom that we ever make mention of it, but thousands upon thousands of dollars are needed. Thousands upon thousands are needed. And with that that's already needed, we're fixing to add thousands upon thousands more to the need, because we're getting ready to go into Bangladesh, and we're getting ready to have a meeting in Reno, Nevada, and we're getting ready to have some meetings in some other areas that the Lord has spoke to us about. And tens of thousands of dollars are needed, whereas I know you can't meet that. Not expecting it of you, not asking you of it. But I know that God is going to meet it, because we've got to have it. No way for us to get around it. And He'll meet it just as sure as I breathe. He'll meet it. God is faithful, who cannot lie. He promised to supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory, and it's needed. So He will send it. For sure He will send it. But I thank God for every effort. I thank God for what you're doing. So we're having a good time in the Lord. How are you having a good time in the Lord? Let me see your hands. Warm. Somebody says, Brother Pike, it's hot. I'm uncomfortable. And you talk about a good time in the Lord. Well, I still remind you that it's going to get hotter than this. It's going to get so hot, it's going to burn your flesh. It's not going to cool off. It's going to continue to get hotter and hotter until it burns the meat on your bones. It's going to do it. Right now, the sun would scorch the meat on your bones. But you know, God has worked out an air conditioner. He's got an air conditioner unit. He's got snow-capped mountains laying around us, and the polar cap of the great snow covering. And the wind blows over that and sweeps down into the valley and keeps the temperature to where we can stand it. Sometimes God has a little place where He'll let that evade to the extent of Death Valley, you know. But they say right now, I understand that the scientists say that the snow-capped mountain, that is of the snow cap we made mention of, that it's melting. If it's melting, if that cap is melting, then that means the air conditioner is going to be turned off. And that means that that sun that we feel coming down, if the polar cap melts, that sun that we feel coming down, folks, it's going to burn the flesh on your bones. It's coming. Tribulation is here. It's coming. So the only thing that we can do about it is serve God. Move in closer. Pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape those things that are coming on the earth. Tribulation is on us. It's coming right on in now. The days of the Gentiles is ending. Tribulation is coming right on in. The blood will be coming off the seat of the atonement, that is, off of the mercy seat. And when it does, then all the fierceness of the wrath of God will come upon us. Things like the polar cap and different things represent the righteousness of God in the high places as to a mediation. He represents the thing that gives us peace and cools us and refreshes us. As to those things coming off, it indicates the blood off of the seat of atonement. So it means that the wrath of God is here. I noticed in some conversations that Russia is beginning to court Israel. The Bible speaks of the time of Gog and Magog, how that they will say one to another, let us go up into the city of unfenced walls and take for ourselves a spoil. And they've got their eyes on the riches and wealth of Israel, because they say there's more wealth in the Dead Sea than all of the world. And they say there's enough asphalt there to pave a road around the world maybe a couple of times. And coming in with flattery, as the king of the north will do, or as the Antichrist will do, to flatter Israel, linking together, the problem will come. Unfenced walls. You know, the Bible said, who can stand against flattery? You can tear down the walls of protection with a little flattery. coming in to the city with unfenced walls. For it's for sure that Jerusalem is coming up in the powers of the atomic world. So things are at an end. Nations are breaking. Israel's awakening. The signs that the prophets foretold. Gentile days numbered with horrors encumbered. Return, O disperse, to thine own. So it is a sad moment. It is a sad time. And yet not sad for the Christians. This is a jubilant moment. This is a great moment, a great time of ecstasy. A wonderful, wonderful time of rejoicing. I want to help Jesus in his cause, don't you? I want to reach every creature. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to the billions of creatures that's in the world in our day. God requires it of us. We couldn't preach the gospel to the billions or millions or whatever in the past because we wasn't there to do it. So God doesn't require that of us. He requires that of another generation. But see, friend, today he requires it of you and I because we are his spokesman in this generation. We're the ones that's held responsible in this generation to evangelize the world in this generation. If we should fail, the blood will be on our hands. Paul said, if I fail, the blood will be on my hands. But if I preach the gospel, he said, if I preach the gospel, then the blood will be off of my hand. I'm debtor both to the barbarian, to the Greek, all to preach the gospel as much as life within me. I see people with programs. They're trying to do all kinds of things, and they're trying to get the attention of a certain sect of the people and a certain portion of the world. Some trying to get the black people together, and some trying to get the yellow together. Some the German, some the Japanese. Some trying to get different ones together. And then I find evangelists, they're trying to get the eyes of the youth, you know, and get them together. And it's real besetting to me. I have no interest in trying to get the black together, nor the yellow together, nor the white together. I have no interest in trying to get the churches together. I have no interest in trying to get the youth together. I could care less about that. As far as I'm concerned, I want to please God. I'm not after pleasing any race of people or any age of people. My interest is in pleasing God and drawing God's people to his name and to his concern. So far as the other's concerned, I wouldn't give you 15 cents for all of it, lock, stock, and barrel. So I want to please the Heavenly Father, and I want to be about his business. And all of them will come. All of the yellow men that's supposed to come, they'll be there. And all the black men that's supposed to come, they'll be there. And all the youth that's supposed to come, they'll be there. Jesus said, Father, I've not lost one of them except the son of perdition. As a matter of fact, God showed me a vision not too long ago. He let me know some things about people coming together, and especially the youth. We go over to India and different places, and the youth flock in. They want to know about this wonderful thing called Jesus. So what I'm interested in is the will of the Father, doing his will and finding his favor and going into all the world and preaching the gospel of the Son of God. I want to read just a little bit tonight. It's hot, uncomfortable, it don't bother me. I like convenience just as well as anybody. Woman down in Florida was telling somebody, said, that Brother Pike, she don't know nothing about me. I ain't ever met her, just seen her at a distance. Said, that Brother Pike, he likes the best. That's what he likes. Whereas that's true, I can't deny that I chose Jesus. He's the very best. Wouldn't have nothing less than that. But anyway, she has gone to the world, and she loves the world, and she's rich, and she's got all kind of things in the world. And, of course, Brother Pike don't cater to the rich or anybody else like that, so that upsets him. People like that think she ought to go out to meet him, you know, like the man that was up in the world. He came over to the prophet, and he thought the prophet ought to come out and say hello, and how are you? And prophet said, just run down to the river. It's a little muddy, but if you take a bath, you'll be all right. He said, all you need is a bath. And it really upset him. And they get upset with me because I don't cater to them. But I thank God for the common people. And I'm not against the wealthy people, the rich people. God will bless them. The Bible said, warn the rich that they trust not in uncertain riches. They can be saved if they want to come to the Lord. Not very many of them will be saved because they trust in riches. But nevertheless, the Bible said, teach them that they should distribute and give to the poor and help the needy. As the man said, Zacchaeus, half of my goods I give to the poor. If I've taken anything from any man falsely, I'll restore it fourfold. The Bible said, this day salvation has come to thy house, in that thou art a son of Abraham. And the Bible teaches that if we believe and obey, then we are children of Abraham. So Abraham tonight, he's my father. I praise God for that. But at the same time, Jesus said, and the common people heard him gladly. So then my interest is in the common people. The Bible said, condescend to men of low estate. And that, of course, is what I want to do. I want to read just a little bit here. I read this the other night. As a matter of fact, right after I came back from Canada, I elaborated on this some. But I'd like to read it just once again. It's found in the book of St. John. It's the 11th chapter. It's concerning Lazarus and the resurrection. I've been there to the tomb of Lazarus. As a matter of fact, it was right there at that tomb that we were sharing some with the poor. And of course, they'd warned us not to do that. But how are you going to be around hungry people and not share with them? I've never learned how to do that. Though it's dangerous. It's real dangerous. They've learned that it's extremely dangerous that you'll lose your life. And of course, in Israel, you can lose your life because them people is not like any people I ever met in my life. If they ever get anything on their mind, it's just one way and that's it. That's why they kill the prophets. You could just start an uproar like it was with Paul. You start an uproar and hundreds and thousands of people will just gather together with one accord. And that's just to do whatever's convenient. There I gave away some things and was helping the poor a little bit. And before I realized it, people was coming from every nook and corner and they had thronged me. And they were all around me. And they would have in a few moments killed me, not meaning to. They were pressing in so on me that my daughter began to cry. She began to cry because she thought they was going to kill me the way they was doing. But anyway, we was there, and as I said, went down into this place where Lazarus was buried, and it's way down some steps and around a little corner. Down deep into the ground. But it was at a place called Bethany. Jesus liked this little place called Bethany because it was just across the way from where he was at. He could be over here and cross over a little old creek like, and he would be there at Bethany. So in between there, he'd just pray a little bit. Sometimes Jesus would go into the Garden of Gethsemane there, and he would pray. And then he would run over to Lazarus' house. Lazarus was his friend. Mary and Martha was Jesus' friend. And it was that same Mary that came to Jesus and put the spikenard upon his feet, that washed his feet with her tears and dried his feet with the hair of her head. He would run over to that place because they befriended him. And a lot of times when he didn't have a place to spend the night, he knew that he could sleep there. He was a human being just like we are, tired and weary sometimes, even on the little boat asleep. And would have perished. Satan tried to drown him while he was asleep. Thought he was going to be able to do it. But anyway, this was at Bethany. We've been to the little place and some of you have been to it. Says chapter 11, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went out and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me, he shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. When she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. For he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him, but some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. And one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, Ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation should perish not. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. And not for that nation only, but for that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Then from that day forth they took counsel together for to put him to death. Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence into a country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim. and there continued with his disciples. And the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then sought they for Jesus, and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple, "What think ye, that he will not come to the feast?" Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he were, he should show it, that they might take him. It goes on to express how that the Passover came and Jesus went up to the Passover. There's a lot of revelation concerning the resurrection of Lazarus. A lot of revelation. A lot of things that we could say. But there's one or two things here that I would like to just talk on a little bit tonight. One of them is Jesus' statement where he said, "Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus saith unto her," or said unto her, "I am the resurrection." See, the Lord made some strong statements right here. Now remember, I spoke this morning not of the deity of Christ, but of the manhood of Christ. I spoke of him being just a man like I'm a man. Like you, for instance. He says here, "I am the resurrection and the life." He goes on to make a strong statement. "He that believeth in me." He that believeth in me. I want you to think on that for just a minute. He that believeth in me. He's speaking of faith now. All men have not faith. He says, "He that believeth in me." Listen now. "Though he were dead, yet shall he live. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." We can understand that pretty good, can't we? We know that if a dead man died in Christ, died in the faith, though he's dead, yet he shall live, God will bring him back in the resurrection, as Martha and Mary said. They knew that of Christ, and they believed that of Christ. But I want you to notice something. "I am the resurrection and the life." Not only am I the resurrection, he said, "I'm the life. I'm the Prince of life. I've come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly, filled up and overflowing. I am the Prince of life. And I want you to have a filled up, overflowing life," he said. "I am not only the resurrection, but I'm the life." But he makes a strong statement. "Though he were dead, yet shall he live." I can believe that. But he goes farther than that. "And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Now that's a strong statement right there. Not only am I the resurrection and I am the life, Jesus said. Not only am I the resurrection and I'm the life. He said, not only can I bring people out of the grave and make people live again that's dead. He said, but to you people that hear me and you folks that are alive. He said, if you believe in me, ye shall never die. You don't have to die. If you believe in me, you don't have to die, he said. I'm the resurrection. I'm the life. Believe on me, Jesus said, and you won't ever have to die. Never have to come to condemnation. These that live, that believe in me, the Bible said they shall never come into condemnation. Believest thou this? He said, Martha and Mary, didn't I tell you that if you would believe that you could see the glory of God? Isn't it a true fact that Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever? That if we can believe that we can see the glory of God? Didn't Jesus emphatically state that what I say unto Martha and Mary, I say unto you? Or didn't the Lord say, what I say unto one, I say unto all? Isn't it a true fact that if we believe in our generation, we can see the glory of God? My brother and sister, I've seen the glory of God many times. I've seen the glory of God many times because I believe. I still believe to see again the glory of God. Seeing the glory of God. What do I have to do to see the glory of God?
that of Martha and Mary, the thing of seeing the glory of God was seeing their brother raised from the dead. To them that was the glory of God. Their hearts was toward Lazarus, their brother. And they wanted to see Lazarus raised back from the dead. And Mary said, if you would have been here, Lord, my brother would not have died. Martha, she was a believer. She said, I believe that thou art the Christ. A lot of people criticized Martha because she was busy about trying to prepare Jesus a meal while Mary listened. But God loved Martha too. The Bible said God loved Martha. It reads it right here. You read right here. God loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. God loved Martha. Martha was a believer. And God said through the mouth of Jesus, I am the resurrection, Martha. Martha said, if you'd have been here, I believe that you're the Christ. Said, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have had to die. Mary repeated the same thing. But did you know the difference in what Martha said? Even now, whatever you ask God, I know that He'll give it to you. I believe that you're the Christ. Now that is faith, folks. You can criticize Martha if you want to. But there was something there. There was faith. There was a fidelity. There was something. She believed that He was the Christ. She believed. Her complaint wasn't exactly to be put aside because Mary didn't help with the natural. You have to help with the natural. God didn't put her down because she was doing the natural. Nor did the natural. But Jesus was just saying, Martha, this is no time to be cumbered about the things of the world. There's a time to do that. There's a time for Noah to build the ark. There's a time for you to cook. But I'm God. I'm speaking. You need to leave that alone and sit down and listen. Folks, we enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. There's a time to paint. There's a time to build. There's a time to tear down. There's a time to cook. But when you come to the house of God, it's time to listen to God speak. It's not time for your mind to be out here somewhere. It's not time for you to think on your job and on your business. It's not time for you to do the things that you want to do in your mind while you're sitting here and God's talking. It's time to listen. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Be more ready to hear than to give your opinion as to your thoughts as to a sacrifice of foods. For God has no pleasure in foods. So then we will enter His gates with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. We will enter into God's courts with praise because God wants us to praise Him. God inhabits the praise of His people. See, it's a great mighty moment. It's a great mighty hour. We are not to be interested in things of the world, a sect of people, or some kind of program. We must be interested in God. I read a little sign coming back from Athens. The Kiwanis Club wants to help get rid of the drugs and different things in the world. That's great. I'm glad of that. I'm glad for all that they do. And many other organizations. I'm glad for the good that they do. But blind guides strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. We can do the same thing. We can be a religious people in a state of mind to believe that God is real. And still not have faith and not understand and not have the knowledge of God. Paul said, I speak this to your shame. I thought about the sign. A blind world, blind guide, strained at a gnat, swallowed a camel. Why don't the organizations get together and stop them from selling beer? Stop them from commercializing off of the public by selling whiskey? Then they'd stop the wrecks. They'd stop the people being crippled up, they'd stop the children that are born with paralysis and all of this kind of birth defect. They would stop the wrath of God. Why don't they get together? They're born of understanding. Blind leaders of the blind. They think there's some great organization that's leading the people. Blind leaders of the blind strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. The blind leading the blind, they all fall into the ditch, which is the intellectual reasoning of their own human definition as to never learn, always learning, and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Never learning anything. See, why don't they do it right? Why don't they do it right? This is what we've got to do, folks. We don't want to be Baptists and Methodists and Presbyterian and all this kind of thing as it's been down through the years. What profit has that been to the people? Some of those people are in worse shape than anybody else. I don't want to get the doctrine of the Baptists and the doctrine of the Methodists and the doctrine of the Pentecostals. I want the Word of God. I want the doctrine of Christ. The Bible speaks of the doctrine of Christ. That's what I want, is the doctrine of Christ. So then, what are we after? Are we trying to excel by catching somebody's attention? By putting on some marathon? By having a special television program? Are we trying to do those kind of things? I'm not interested in that kind of thing. I want to be about my Father's business. I want to please my Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. I want to come to the knowledge of the truth. I want to tell men about God. I want to see men born again. I want to see people grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. I don't want to have a church and have a routine. And over I preach to you. Or have somebody else to preach to you. I want to be in touch with God. I want to hear the voice of God. I want the knowledge that comes from God. Solomon said we could find the knowledge of God if we search diligently after it. I want to be changed into the image of God. I want to perfect holiness in my life. I want to go into perfection. I don't want church routine. I don't want to live in Bethlehem and be a bunch of dead people. And over in a routine, make money and eat and drink and make money and eat and drink. And after a while, die and let them throw me into a hole. I don't want that kind of thing. I don't want to be rich in the world. Have everything according to the riches of the world. And then do nothing for God and die and go to hell. I don't want to do that. I want to learn something. I want to understand something. I want to come to know about Jesus. So then Martha said, if you'd have been here, Lord, my brother would never have died to start with. He would never have passed away. Jesus said, well, now don't worry about that, Martha. He said, he'll live again. See, can't you see that consolation of Jesus? The Bible said he loved Lazarus. He will. Now he said, Martha, you're my friend. I love you, Martha. You're very dear to me. I love Mary. He said, now don't go be troubled over it. Lazarus is going to be all right. He'll live again. Oh, yes, she said, I know that. Still brokenhearted. I appreciate your consolation, Lord, she could have said. I thank you for all these confident words, and I know someday my dear brother will live again in the resurrection. We'll embrace each other and we'll see each other again. And that grieved Jesus. See, here's Jesus. Here's God in human form. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ. Here he is speaking, and Martha can't perceive his words. She can't take hold of his words. Jesus said, Martha, don't you understand what I'm saying? Martha, Martha, can you hear me, Martha? I'm the resurrection, Martha. Why do you say someday my brother shall live again? I spoke on this the other night. Why do you say that my brother will live again in the resurrection? Don't you understand that I'm the resurrection, folks? This is what God wants us to know. I say to you that we'll live again in the resurrection. But that's not the way to understand it, is to say, someday, sometime, somewhere. That's not the way. Blessed and holy is he. That is, you're not going to be in the first resurrection unless you're blessed and holy. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. It takes a blessed man, it takes a holy man to be able to have part in that first resurrection. Paul said, receive a full reward. So then, Martha, why do you say someday? Why do you say someday, Martha? Because that was the thoughts of her mind. You know, whenever it comes, someday. Jesus said, there is no someday. I want you to get this, folks. I had to cut off the other night. I never did finish my thoughts. I was trying to explain something. Why do you say someday? Why do you do that? You make the entire program of God void by saying someday. Why do you say someday? Tell me, beloved friend, where is the day of the resurrection? Hallelujah. What day will it be? Will it be Thursday or Sunday? Will it be in June or July? What day of the month is this going to be? What year will it be? As we say 86 or 89 or 92. What year is it going to be in? What day is it going to be in? The day of the resurrection. The day of the resurrection. What day will it be? I mess this a lot of times, not to be comical, not to repeat myself, but to be able to get it into the understanding of the people. I ask the question, where is yesterday? Where is yesterday? And I ask the question, where is tomorrow? I ask the question, is there anything but today? Jesus said, Martha, I'm here. I'm here. Someday, she said, there's going to be a resurrection. Jesus said, Martha, this is the day of the resurrection. I'm the resurrection. I'm here. I'm here right now, he said. Two or three gathered in my name. I'm in the midst. I am the resurrection. That's why they raised the dead. That's why the prophets raised the dead. That's why Jesus raised the dead. That's why he caught the little coffin, as we say, coming out of the city and raised the man and made him get out of the coffin and give him back to his mother. Because she didn't have nobody to support her. Why? Because that was the day of the resurrection. Where is the day of the resurrection? When Peter walked over and said, get up, Dorcas. That was the resurrection. That was the day of the resurrection. When Elijah said, get up. When Paul took the man that had fell three stories, picked him up and said his life is still in him. That was the resurrection. Who was the resurrection? Paul could have said, I am the resurrection and the life. It's not me living, but the resurrection and the life. The life I now live is the resurrection and the life. If you don't believe it, watch me, he said. Jesus said, the works that I do bear witness of me. So then God said, Martha, what day? Or he didn't say it in that terms. What day is the resurrection? Don't you understand, Martha? He said, the resurrection has already come. I'm the resurrection. I'm the resurrection. I'm the life. So then what must I do, Lord? What must I do? He said, just believe. There is no tomorrow. If so, where is it at? Somebody show it to me. Nobody's ever found it. When we were supposedly in yesterday, today was to be tomorrow, and here we are in today, and where's tomorrow at? And it's for sure that that would be called yesterday can't be found. There's nobody ever found it. Somebody said, well, that was yesterday. Well, when I was living in it, it was called today. You say, but it's yesterday now. Well, I know where today is. And when I was back there, it was today. And I could show you that while I was living in it. But ain't nobody showed me yesterday. Where is it at? See, with God, there is no such thing. This is what we've got to come to. That's what the tutoring is for. That's why God is visiting our people in this hour. The great day of his visitation. Had Israel known the time of their visitation, their houses would not have been left to them desolate. But this is the day of visitation, the great day of visitation to the Gentile people. We must learn, we must understand. We must grow in the grace and knowledge of the Son of God. We must understand what he is saying, beloved friend. What is he saying to us? Today, he says, if you will hear my voice. Not yesterday or tomorrow. But he said, today if you can hear my voice. And harden not your heart as they did in the provocation of the wilderness. Today it is written that if you can hear my voice. Martha, can you hear my voice today? He said, Lazarus, Lazarus, can you hear my voice today, Lazarus? If you can hear my voice, Lazarus, this is the resurrection and the life. And the Bible said Lazarus came out of the grave. Folks, can you hear him today? He said, it's not the minister speaking, but it's God speaking from within him. And he said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. If thou canst hear my voice, he said, what is it that you want? What would you like to have, he said. What is it that you're interested in? What is it that you want? What is the desires of your heart? I'll give you the desires of your heart. What is it you want me to do for you? What would you have me to do for you? He asked that question so often. Some would say, Lord, I would that I receive my sight. The others have their dead loved ones raised from the grave. I said, what do you want me to do for you? I'm here, folks. He said, I am the Prince of Life. I am the life. I'm here with you today. There ain't no tomorrow. There ain't no yesterday. Why do you wait? Jesus said, today is God's day. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of your healing. Today is the day of your deliverance. God knows no yesterday and tomorrow. It's forever, one eternal day. We sing that song, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad into it, or in it. John was in the Lord's day. He was in the Lord's day. That is, he was in the Spirit, we say, on the Lord's day. He was in the Lord's day. Anytime you become born to the Spirit, beloved friend, you are in the Lord's day. That is the Lord's day. Anytime you enter into the Spirit, that is the Lord's day. What day is that? John entered into the Lord's day. When he went into the Lord's day, he heard a voice behind him and he turned around. And there stood Jesus in the midst of the candlesticks, the garment down to his feet, his paps girded with a golden girdle. His feet was like fine brass that burned in the furnace. His eyes was like a flame of fire. Out of his mouth a two-edged sword. His hair as white as wool. He stood there. It was as though the sun shined within his strength. Even his face was as white as pure wool. Why? No blood life. The red dragon was gone. He drained the blood out of a corpse. That is, out of a man he becomes a corpse. He looks white because the thing that gives him color is the blood. There he stood, blood life gone, the quickening spirit. He wasn't depending on blood life. He didn't have to have blood life flowing through his veins. He didn't have to have it. Folks, today I am not a living soul. I am not a living soul. Jesus wasn't a living soul. The Bible said in the soul that sinneth shall surely die. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. And while you're in the soulish realm, if you sin, you're going to die. Because being in the soul realm, you can sin. But we pass from death unto life. We're not in the soul realm anymore. The Bible said the first Adam was made a living soul. But the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. We're not a living soul, we're a quickening spirit. We're not in the realm of sinning. We pass that rim. We come into that great place where we can never sin against God anymore. How do you understand what I'm saying? So then, what is today? What is the day? This is the day that the Lord has made. John entered into the Spirit on the Lord's day. What is this wonderful day? Oh my God, what is this day? The revelation of Jesus Christ. John said, and this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. What is it? I've been born into another world. My eyes have come open. He's dropped the drops into my eyes. Anoint thine eyes with eyes saved that thou mightest see. They have taken me as a little babe, and my eyes have been anointed, and they've come open. Paul said, the eyes of your understanding, the spiritual man's eyes, the new babe's eyes, that you might comprehend the heights and the depths and the width and the length. And my eyes have come open. I see this beautiful thing that God has done. I'm in that world. I'm in God's day. I'm on the other side of Jordan. I've entered into that world. I've entered into that realm. I've entered into heaven. Jesus said, the Son of Man that's in heaven, as I am, so are ye in me. So then, chosen out of the world, hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the time of the restoring of all things, having passed from that level, having passed from death unto life, having come out of condemnation and moved into the everlasting world of eternal life, to be caught up to the throne in the day of the Lord, in the day of the Lord, in the Spirit, the babe, he's in another world. He's done coming to God's day now. In God's day. So then, what makes you so happy, Brother Pike? Because I'm in God's world. I'm in God's day. I'm happy My soul magnifies God. The enthusiasm, the zeal on the inside, my world is a state of ecstasy. I'm in that world. You say, no, Brother Pike, yes. I'm in that world. You can't change it. Your mind can't change it. Your reasoning can't change it. Not even my reasoning can change it. I passed from death unto life. Why did I do that? Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. I know, Brother Pike, that when we die, we're going to come out of the grave and God's going to take us into that of the world. If that be the answer to it, why is it the Bible speaks of those that shall not sleep? Behold, I show you a mystery, Paul said. There are people that's not going to sleep. How then can they be in the resurrection? If it takes being in the resurrection according to our human definition, if it takes being in the resurrection to take us into that world, then how in the name of reasoning are they going to get into that other world? Because they're still breathing when he comes. They're still talking. They're still walking. Where then is the resurrection for them? They've never died. How can they be resurrected? Oh, somebody said, well, that's simple, Brother Pike. At that time, he'll just do whatever needs to be done at that time. Well, beloved friend, why do I have to wait? And besides that, when is that time? Can anybody point me to that time? Can anybody tell me the time and the seasons? Which the Bible said God has put in his own power. Can anybody tell me what special thing's going to happen to me? Oh, but Brother Pike, you wait till the last trump. You wait till this great thing happens. Never can happen before. Never has happened before. Well, what happened to Enoch? What happened to Enoch if it never has happened before? Where did Elijah go? What happened to Moses? So then, if someday, as we say, God's going to do that to the church. Someday. If God's going to do that, then where then is the resurrection? Oh, somebody said, Brother Pike, don't you know the dead in Christ shall rise first? I know that. But I'm not talking about those that sleep in the ground. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about those, he said, that are alive and remain at his coming, that shall be changed. Where is the resurrection? They've never died to be resurrected. Oh, yes, they have. Where is it at? They died all right. The Bible said, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but the body of the Lord Jesus Christ buried in a watery grave and brought forth in the newness of life, as the world being dead unto me by the body of Jesus, and me being dead unto the world, having mortified the deeds of my body. Where is the resurrection? So then I can be changed. At the sounding, I can be changed. At the sounding, I can be resurrected. Amen. Praise God. Somebody said, I know it was there. Amen. I'm with you. Praise God. It is there. But the thing is, if it's there, when the Thessalonian change takes place, then, beloved friend, tell me why it's not here right now. The same baptism that will be effective then and the same death that will be effective then to bring the same resurrection that will be effective then. Where is that burial now? Where is that resurrection power now? Jesus said, I am the resurrection. Martha, today, if thou canst hear my voice, today you pass from death unto life. Today you've been resurrected. Today you've come out of the grave. Today you're not in the flesh. You've come out of the world and out of the flesh. And today you're hid with Christ in God. So then, I'm the resurrection, Martha. Don't you understand? I'm the resurrection. Lazarus, you can't see me from where you're at, Lazarus. But can you hear me? He sent his word. He sent his word. You can't see me. The man said, my servant is grievously tormented. Servant, you can't see Jesus. But if thou canst believe, there's a word coming to you. If thou canst believe. Martha, didn't I tell you? Mary, didn't I tell you if you believe that you'd see the glory of God? Don't you want to see the glory of God? Didn't I tell you that? How many times have I talked to you and preached to you? How many times did I visit with you? Don't you believe that, Martha and Mary? If you just believe, man that is sick, if thou canst believe. Somebody says, but that's like a fairy tale, Brother Pike. I believe so many times, and I've never been healed. You've never believed one time, or you've been healed. Every time you ever believed, you'd have been healed. You've not believed one time. Jesus said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could tell a mountain to jump over into the ocean, and it would obey you. Peter walked on the water. As Peter walked on the water, he would have drowned, but he believed. And it's a positive thing that it wasn't some special thing with Peter or some special characteristic of Peter. If it was, why was it Peter was drowned when he quit believing? Why was he going down in the water? He was a man like I'm a man. The Bible said Elijah. He was a man like I'm a man of like passions. He felt like I did. He had the same problems, the same complications of life. But he prayed earnestly, the effectual, fervent prayer. If a man's righteous in the sight of God, if he's trying to be holy, doing all he can, then the Bible said it availeth much. How am I holy? Lift up holy hands. He's made me holy. He purifies my heart by faith. So then, the Lord said, Mary, Martha, take courage. The resurrection has come. This is the day. You've been looking for it. Now here it is. This is the day. Somebody said, well, he didn't resurrect Mary and Martha. He didn't have to. They didn't need it. He just resurrected the ones that needed it. Wherever he come, he just resurrected the ones that needed it. That's all. I needed resurrecting, so he resurrected me. See, he just resurrects that that needs to be resurrected. So then, this is the day of the resurrection. We say yesterday. Somebody yesterday believed God, if you want to use the terms yesterday. And he was the resurrection to him. Somebody tomorrow, if we use that terms, will believe God and he'll resurrect him. But beloved friend, there is but one day, and this is the day the Lord has made. What day did the Lord make? The day of Calvary. And the Bible said he has succored us in that day. He has succored us in that day, for he looked down from heaven. He heard the groaning of the prisoners and loosed them that was appointed unto death. And he succored us in that day. For God had appointed him a day. He loosed the prisoners that was bound unto death by the law. See, we're not bound under the law unto death anymore. I'm not a prisoner of the law. I'm not under death anymore. I'm not planning to die. I'm not under the law. I'm not under the letter that killeth. See, I passed from that. By Calvary, I passed from that. Where are you, Brother Pike? I'm in heaven, folks. Oh, I don't believe that. Well, it doesn't make any difference. I'm enjoying it just as much as if you did believe it. So then, where are we, church folks? Sons and daughters of God, where are we? Well, I know where I'm at. I'm down here in the world. I'm not talking to you. I said sons and daughters of God. I'm not talking to the beast. We talk to them another time. Teach them to roll over and give us their paw and whatever. I'm talking about them that are born of God, sons and daughters of God that owns heaven and earth. Where are we? We are in heaven. Nicodemus, don't you see me? Can't you hear me, Nicodemus? Hallelujah. Where are you, Jesus? I'm with my Father. I'm always in the presence of my Father. I always do the things my Father says. Hey, Brother Pike, Jesus could say that, but you can't say that. You can't say that you always do the things that the Father does. Oh, yes, I can. And the Bible said, as he is, so am I in he. Whatever he done it for me. So he pleased the Father always, so I'm God's pleasure always. Always without spot. Always without wrinkle. Always without blemish. That's how I got into heaven. Was through that wonderful works of Jesus Christ. Faith in what he did. Faith in what he did. So then, Mary, Martha, I'm the resurrection. I'm the life. Now is the hour. Now is the time of salvation. There is not going to be any certain day. Where are you? What do you want? This is the hour, folks. This is the time. Somebody said a time of translation, Brother Pike. One day it's coming. Where is the day of the translation? Where is the day? Somebody says, well, Brother Pike, there's going to be a day. You just wait and see. Jesus said, what I'll do for one, I'll do for all. What I've said to one, I'll say for all, or say to all. Where is the day of the translation? Looks like you missed it because Enoch got it. And it looked like it come before our time. He got translated and went away, so I guess that does it. I guess that does it.
No, you say that can't be, Brother Pye. Then there must be that somebody can be translated. Enoch was translated. There's no certain day. If you don't call that today, then why call another day today? What God wants is people with the mind of Christ. He wants people to realize that they're already born again. They've already been translated. They're already in heaven. They're already passed from death into life. They already have all power in heaven and earth. And they're already perfected in God as to the righteousness of Christ. In that God has purified our hearts by the faith of Jesus Christ. And that we are alive forevermore and resurrected from the dead. I was dead. But Jesus said, I'm alive forevermore. Somebody said, but that's not you. The Bible said, as he is, so am I. If he's resurrected from the dead and alive forevermore, and I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, for sure he didn't leave that part of him in the grave. Somebody say, praise the Lord. When he came out of the grave, I came out of the grave. Hallelujah. When he went into the presence of God, I went into the presence of God. When he started dwelling in that light, I went into that light. I'm hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the time of the restoring of all things. Then it's not me living, but Christ in the life I now live. I live by the Son of God. Somebody say hallelujah. This is a great salvation, folks. This is a great program. This is a great plan. The man got up here the other day and said, well, they can't take you nowhere. God have mercy on that kind of thinking. God have mercy on that kind of thinking. Even while he was talking, I was standing up there in heaven looking at him. Dunn went over the Jordan. Was looking back on him at the time he was making his statements. Hallelujah. Are we the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, or is that some kind of fairy tale, figment of imagination? Are we really his members and body? Then he said, I'm in heaven, Nicodemus. Then where is his members and bodies? He said, rejoice, the membership of Christ that is in heaven. For God's chosen you out of the world, and you're not in the flesh, but you are hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. Do you really believe that? So then where is the resurrection? I've got the resurrection in my heart. Blessed and holy is he that has been resurrected from the dead, that's hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. Blessed and holy is he that was in that first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he. For I am the resurrection, Jesus said, and he lives on the inside of me. And I'm bone and flesh of the resurrection. I am the resurrection, Jesus said. Hallelujah. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. That makes me feel good all over. I like being the resurrection. I like being the life.
Praise the Lord.
I like this living for God. I like to dwell in heaven. I enjoy shouting and screaming out for God. Telling people about deliverance. Telling people about this wonderful world of God. And how that we can enjoy it and live in it. And walk in the Spirit and talk in the Spirit. And not fulfill the desires of the flesh. But be with Christ, not dwell in the flesh, not fulfill the lustful passions. Oh, how wonderful it is to be a Christian. Martha, Martha, you need to get a revelation, Martha. You need to get a revelation. I've been with you so long time, Thomas, you haven't recognized me. I have been with you so long time, Martha. I've been with you so long time, Mary. Now it's time for you to see my glory. He said, Lazarus. Lazarus! And the Bible said, Lazarus, come forth. And oh, what a revival they had. My, what a time it was. You understand what I'm saying, folks? The world is waiting to see your light. Let your light so shine. You're the light of the world. Let the light so shine that men that are in darkness, heathenistic darkness, can see that light. Let them come to that light. The song says we'll walk in the light. Walk in the light, shining upon us from heaven so bright. Walking in the light as he ends in the light, having fellowship one with another. The members coming together through the light. Let your light so shine. Get out of the way. Open your heart. Don't cover it up. Don't hold it back. Let your light shine that people may see it. Are you living holy? Are you living right? Are you striving for perfection? Are you trying to make any difference in your life as to what it was, as you say, to yesterday? Are you trying to get closer to God? Are you making a special effort? Are you letting your light shine by giving, by praying, by fasting,
by coming to church, by sharing your testimony, by sharing your substance. Do other men see your good works? Do they glorify your Father in heaven? Let your light so shine, folks. If you got a light, let it shine. Got this little light, and I'm going to let it shine. Tell folks about Jesus. Get excited. It's exciting to me anyway. You say, what makes you so excited, Brother Pike? Because the battle has been won. The battle is the Lord's. He won it. The battle is the Lord's. He won it. And now the victory that overcomes the world is my faith and what he did for me. I don't have to worry about dying. I don't have to get with science, falsely so-called. I don't have to go through their routines. I don't have to wonder if there's going to be some day when I'm going to get good or I'm going to stand before God. And before I get there, I'm going to have a few more days to get better so that I might have a chance to be saved. I'm not in that rut of human thinking. I thank God that before the world ever was, I went to heaven through the foreknowledge of God and was chosen as God's elect and perfected in Christ, predestinated in him. I thank God because I'm in this heavenly place. God put me in this heavenly place. Paul's eyes come open and he found himself in the third heaven. A lot of things he didn't understand, whether in the body or out of the body, said, I ain't got that figured out yet. But I'm happy, folks, because I've discovered something. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. I think this way, so I am. According to my believing, the constitution of my thinking, it forms my believing. And my believing is my transformating power. So then, Martha, Mary, can you see the glory of God? Have you been able to see the glory of God? Didn't I tell you if you believed, someday you would? Folks, have you been trying to believe as of late? Have you applied your faith? Have you come to realize that this is a living reality, there's a real God that made heaven and earth, that God has sent tutors and God has told you about this grand, glorious thing, and God has brought you to face this situation and confronted you with eternal life, and the very glory of God is made known to you, and the Bible said the treasures that's been hid in time past, men now can see and understand, and even to the manifold wisdom of God or the treasures that's in heavenly places can now be carried in your earthen vessels. Even the knowledge of God that causes your mind to translate. The knowledge of God that causes your body to transfigure. The knowledge of God that causes the transformation of your mind. Even this heavenly treasure, the mind of Christ, even the knowledge of God that's been given to us from heaven, because that mind came from heaven. He came from heaven. He left with us his mind. He left with us his spirit. How wonderful to be a Christian. I want you to stand with me. I could go on and go on tonight, but I know that you're hot and uncomfortable. Now, I appreciate your kind attention. You may go along, beloved friend, until your eyes begin to grow dim, until your hair turns white. It doesn't matter if you're young or old. It doesn't matter if you're little or big, no matter what it is. You young women that are standing here, you young men are standing here. You keep thinking about tomorrows. And after a while, that you thought to be your tomorrow will eventually be your today. And you look in the mirror and you'll say, my God, how I've changed. And the hair will be gray and it'll be white. White! Oh my God, somebody says, my hair's getting white. My God. Man, it's awful, somebody says. I don't know, John thought it was really something. He said his hair was as white as wool. White as wool. That signifies maturity. And said the Ancient of Days later, as he appeared in the great light coming to the earth, his hair was as white as wool. I've said this a lot of times. As long as the hair is filled with color, it indicates infiltration and sin, sinful youth. When the hair begins to turn white, it indicates the infiltration leaving. And you're beginning to be purified. Now, that don't mean if you turn white-haired that you're purified. I'm just telling you what the types and the shadows show. How did we think so differently from what God does? But nevertheless, one day you're going to look in the mirror and you're going to see it. It's going to be there. Somebody said, bless God, it won't be there. I'll put me some color back on mine. And it'll still be there underneath the color back. You're going to wrinkle up. No doubt about it, you're going to wrinkle up. You're going to do it. Because fruit blossoms. It's full. It's beautiful. It's luscious. It's sweet. The aroma is lovely. But there has to come a time when it goes to seed. If you're going to replant, then it's got to go to seed. Some won't ever be replanted because the worms get into the heart of it and they cause it to rot. But we that come for the transplanting, you're going to wither up, going to go to seed, and then you're going to be replanted. So you might hide it behind cosmetics, you know, like the movie stars. You might hide it. You can pack on the paint like Mae West and the others of the olden times. Like Dale Evans said one time on the program, I heard somebody say they was watching or whatever, and she said something about she give part of the glory to God for her appearance and the other part to the cosmetics that she used. She named it. And you can pack it on, but that ain't going to do no good. I'm preaching in Los Angeles. We've been preaching up and down the coast of California and West Hollywood and Los Angeles, Placentia, Anaheim and Bell Garden, different places. And in Los Angeles, downtown at a church, we was preaching kind of hard. And when we got through preaching, practically everything in the church came to the altar. And some of them started to bawling, and it looked like that you'd cut a little river down their face. They had on so much makeup and whatever you call it until it looked like it just cut a little river down where it streamed down. You can hide it, you know, with a little cosmetics, but that's still there. Still there anyway. Still there. Every one of you is going to wrinkle up. Every one of you is going to turn gray. Every one of you is going to die, and they're going to put you in a hole unless you can come to what we're talking about, folks. He that waits upon the Lord renews his strength. He renews his youth. His strength shall be as his day. He comes into a great and a mighty thing. Abraham was old according to days, but he didn't believe in days. So he was young according to life. So was Sarah. And they brought forth their little one, even the son of promise, when it was impossible. Same way with Moses. The Bible said his eyes had not waxed dim. The natural sources of his body was not abated. Why? He went back into the garden. He went back into the world of youth. He went back in the time of Adam. He was walking in the light. What is it? It's God. Wherever God's spirit is, that's life. I'm the resurrection. Someday, somebody said, no, not someday, right now. That life is here right now. That youth is here right now. That Christ is here right now. That preservation of life is here right now. That abundance of life filled up and overflowing is here right now. Your strength to be as your days is here right now. Not tomorrow, right now. There is no day and night to God. He doesn't go to sleep and get up. The Bible said, he that keepeth Israel shall not slumber. It doesn't change his feeling because the sun goes around the hilltop. One little old speck in the universe that we call the world seems so important. It's just one little old speck as a speck of dust in his world as to his thinking. So then God, who is alive forevermore, the Bible said, and in that city of lively stones, in that city, there won't be any night. There won't be any night. Why? Because night is a symbolic thing of death. Night is a symbolic thing of evil. Intellectual night. They that be drunken off of the cares of the world are drunken in the night. In that world, there won't be any night. There won't be any drunkenness. There won't be any death. Getting up in the morning, symbolically, the resurrection. But we'll be alive forevermore. No, there won't be any day and night. Won't be any tired, weary bodies. It'll just be life from now on. I've got weary a lot of times with night. I thank my God every time I turn around, it's night. It's sleepy life. Well, you can't do nothing. It's always night. And then you think, but God, I'd get tired. If I didn't have night, I couldn't rest. What am I going to do? I got to have night. But see, in that city, you won't get tired. It'll be as the sun shining within your strength. It'll be as the sun shining within your strength. I'm sorry I kept you standing. Sometimes the Lord allows that, you know it. Sometimes he allows that.
we get so miserable setting that we want to leave, so he lets us stand. We're glad to sit down. We're ready to stay. Just to get to sit down. You can sit down. Preachers get carried away, you know it? So then just take a few more minutes and we're going to let you stand and sing a little chorus. This great city of light, how many of you come into the light? When Joshua came, he stopped the sun. He stopped the moon. He made the light remain. It couldn't go away. Today, if you can see that light, if you can enter into that city, you won't sleep anymore. I don't sleep anymore. I one time slept, but I don't sleep anymore. Lazarus has been asleep. Jesus said, I go to awake him. One day the Lord awakened me. I'd been asleep. And he came and he awakened me. I've not slept any since then. I don't sleep anymore. I read a little article. I just read of the article. I saw it as I passed by in the store. On a book, maybe it was. This man had been awake, I believe they said 70 years, was it? And hadn't slept in 70 years. Whereas anything like that, it would mean that the man went to sleep on the inside and his bodily nerves and members didn't relate to it. He'd have to go to sleep on the inside, that is to say, the sleeping part of me. Sometimes people sleep with their eyes open. But folks, I don't sleep anymore. He awoke me. And he put me in a city of light. And in this city, there is no night. There is no night. I'm forever awake, enjoying the wonderful presence of my Savior. Lazarus, I go to awake him. You can see the glory of God. Somebody said, well, bless God, that's so far-fetched. I'll never believe that. Well, I'm not trying to get you to believe that. I'm just telling you about me. Here we're talking about me now, not talking about what you want to do. We're just talking about me. Somebody said, well, I don't believe it. That's why you're still asleep. That's why you still go to sleep. I do believe it. That's why I haven't been asleep. According to your faith. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy, publishing to you that a Savior is risen. This is real, folks. This is real. Somebody said, one of these days, I'm down here on this earth, and one of these days, God's going to reach down, take me out of this world, and I'm going to zoom away. And that's fine. There's no objection to it. If you can do that, that's fine. The whirlwind took Enoch away, and the chariot took Elisha away, and that's fine. You know, if you can do that, when you whirl away, when you get up here, we'll have fellowship together, and you'll enjoy this thing like I do. That's fine. No objections. But to you that dwell in heaven, there are some of us that we're enjoying this thing. And to you that's enjoying heaven, the Bible said, rejoice forevermore. Don't be sad. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't worry about your finance. Don't worry about anything. God feeds the little birds. He clothes the lilies. Your job is to rejoice, thanking God, giving praise to God for all things. For it is the Lord thy God that giveth thee power to get wealth. The Lord maketh rich, the blessing does and adds no sorrow. It is the Lord that is with thee forevermore. It is the Lord that supplieth all of your needs according to his riches and glory. It is the Lord that has given you all things that pertain unto life. So don't fret, don't worry. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Let's stand one more time, and this time we'll sing a little chorus. Nations are breaking, Israel is awakening. It's the sign that the prophets foretold. Gentile days numbered, with horrors encumbered. Return, O disperse to your own. For the day of
Redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Let's be filled with God's Spirit. For the day of redemption is here. Oh, the day of redemption is here. How many believe that the day of redemption is here? Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. How many of you are filled with the Spirit? The Bible said that we should be full of the Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, they were filled with the Spirit. The Bible said they fasted and prayed together till they were filled with the Spirit. Look up. Your redemption is here. It is here, folks. Your redemption is here. Somebody says, Brother Pike, are you sure? I'm sure. The day of redemption is here. I'm sure. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could come to the place to realize that when Jesus said it is finished, that he meant what he said? If your redemption isn't here, then it's not finished. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, what it is, we got to wait till tomorrow, don't you understand? Martha, why do you have to wait till tomorrow? Jesus coming out of the grave didn't wait till tomorrow. He came out today. Why do you have to wait till tomorrow, Martha? Well, don't you know the redemption is going to take place? But Jesus said it's finished. In a day accepted, he succored us. He said it's finished. Somebody said, well, what he meant was that it is finished. That's what he meant. Because that's what he said. And he said what he meant. So I say again, until we comprehend, that's the only hindrance. Not that he liketh anything, not that we're waiting for him, but until we comprehend, until somebody has told us, until the mistress is finished, until we comprehend. Canst thou believe? Jesus said all things are possible to them to believe. What do you mean all things are possible? Redemption. Redemption is possible. So then today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. God has succored us. Now is the accepted time. If thou canst believe. If thou canst believe. Oh, what a wonderful salvation, folks. What a wonderful salvation. Let's sing this little chorus. If I can't remember it, you can. Walk in the light. We will walk in the light. That beautiful light shining upon us from heaven so bright. Shine all around us by night and by day. Jesus, you're the light of my world. Sing it again then. We will walk in the light, that beautiful light, shining upon us from heaven so bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Don't you love the Lord? Folks, if you missed it, it's bad. I say again, the songwriter said, I don't want to miss it, do you? I don't want to miss it, do you? Hallelujah. I'm glad I made it. I'm glad I made it. I don't know how many of you missed it, but I'm glad that I made it. Before the world ever was, by the foreknowledge of God, he looked down from heaven and saw that I was going to be one of them believers. I'm glad I made it. What you do proves what you believe and what you are. Because the child is known by his doings. For his doings is the manifestation of his believing.
Glad to have our brother with us over here close to Brother Mike Ingram. I know I've seen him and know him, but I can't think of his name. But we're so glad to have our brother. Maybe from the Carolinas. Praise God. We're certainly glad to have you. Let's slip our hands up, can we? Folks, don't you want to come to this great knowledge? As a man thinketh, that's his world, that's his way, that's his life. So he is. I'm glad that you're healthy and strong. I'm glad that you've got life in many days. Should Jesus tarry? I'm glad you can witness of Jesus and tell of the lovely things of God, to be an example of Christ in the days of your youth, to remember the Creator in the days of your youth. That's so great and so wonderful. But folks, walk circumspectly before God. Love the Lord Jesus with all of your heart. Do something for Christ. Don't give your strength to the flesh. Don't give your strength to the flesh, to demons. Give your strength to God. Give your strength to God. This is a mighty thing. What does it do, Brother Pike? It brings us into eternal life. As thou hast believed, Jesus said, so be it unto you. As thou hast believed, you've heard my words, Jesus said, as thou hast believed, you know, whatever you're believing is, so be it unto you. I beg of you, folks, don't let your heart be troubled. I beg of you, don't think wrong. I beg of you to believe the way I told you to believe. Don't believe for worldly gain and gullible desire. Don't believe for passions. Don't believe for gossip and backbiting and mocking and causing division. Don't believe for reproaching. Believe God for life and health and strength. Believe God for your eternal security. Believe God for peace. Believe God for the gentle touch of God. The song says, and with gentle hands he leadeth me. Believe God. Start using your faith. Get your thinking straightened out now. For God's sake, get your thinking straightened out. You're never going to get your thinking straightened out as long as you're thinking about the world, wanting the world, desiring the world, trying to figure out how to make another dollar. You're never going to do that. You say, Brother Pike, don't you think I ought to be out there working? I certainly do. Have all the carnal things you want, but never be carnal minded. When you get worldly minded, when you get gullibly minded, when you get fleshly minded, frolic minded, then you done miss God. See, but have your mind on God. Think on God. Meditate in God day and night. Bring every thought into subjection to the Lord Jesus Christ. When you think of a car according to the use for God. When you think of a house according to the use for God. When you think of making money according to the use of God. When you're working on your job, think of your hands doing something for God and follow through as you have a will, have a performance. Whatever you get, whatever you do, let it be for God and His benefit. Not for your desire, not for your family, not for you. But do all things as unto the Lord Jesus. Use everything you got for God. Sell all that you've got, give to God. Sell out to God. Give Him your heart. Give Him your life. Give Him your mind. Love Him with all of your strength. The Bible said in the early church they didn't say that all was theirs, because it wasn't. They had given everything to God. I don't want it. As far as giving it to me, I don't want it. I mentioned this the other night to Brother Dwight. He sold his trailer, him and his wife. They intended to use the money, but it dawned on him after he'd sold the trailer. He told his wife, said, you know, I just remembered. We gave that trailer to Brother Pike, said it doesn't belong to us. So they'd received the down payment on it, was waiting for the rest of the money, which would have been a few thousand dollars. So immediately, they conferred together. And she said, Dwight, I remember that. And so then they brought the money over to me, over to Sister Betty. I wasn't there. And Betty said, I don't believe my husband is going to receive this money. When I came in, I found out what had been done. It alarmed me. I said, no, no, not at all. You take that money back. You send that money back to them immediately. So she did. I told her, I said, you tell them to keep their money.
keep their money that they're getting out of the trade. I don't need their money. I don't want their money. Let them keep their money. They're going out into the world. They need it. Numbers of people have given me their homes and their trailers. I had Brother Gilbert to come to me, and Sister Frances said, here, take the deeds to our little home and get what you will out of it, Brother Pike. I said, no. Brother Atlee brought his. I said, no. A number of people brought theirs. From different times, homes and whatever. Brother Clyde Cobb, I tried my very best to return the deeds to his land and to his house more than one time. But he won't have it. He just won't have it. I've never done anything with it. The people down in South Georgia that gave me over $50,000 in wealth of a church, of land, house and whatever houses, gave it back to them. So I'm not interested in that kind of thing. But there's one thing about it, folks. God is expecting you to put that to the exchanges for his cause. And he's expecting you to do something with that you've got. He gave it to you to dedicate it to him and to honor the Lord with your substance. He's expecting you to love him with all of your heart, your strength, all of your substance. He's expecting it. Let's bow our heads together. I want to ask Brother Tommy Clark. Tommy just come back from down at the boat. He's really been working. I went out there the other day and he was just a working, sweating like a horse. Working. It was hard work. He was cleaning out the water tanks. It was strenuous. It was hard. Tommy quit like a man. He waited till he got through. He finished his job. I wonder tonight, beloved friend, and this is the truth from my heart. I wonder how many people, man, woman, alive, I wonder how many of you have done anything for God this day. Now, most likely, numbers of you went out and ate. I did myself. But I wonder today how many of you have done anything for God. I didn't go to my room and pray today like I usually try to do on Sunday or through the week I do it. Sometimes to stay all day in my room. I was planning to, but the Lord wanted me to talk to somebody, and he sent somebody by, and I conferenced with him. But I come here tonight still filled up with his spirit and filled up with his glory and filled up with his love to try to share this enthusiasm with you. We're planning to go into Bangladesh. God helping us, we're going into Bangladesh. We're going overseas. God will have to meet the needs. I know that. I can't go. I never could go except he meet the needs. But he will. I never had to ask anybody. He always met the needs. I want to go there and help those hungry people. I want to go there and do something for them. I want you to pray for me that Betty and I can do something for God into all the world, the gospel to every creature. But I wonder what you've done today for God. I wonder what plan you made. Even if you didn't do anything, I wonder how many of you got together and made a plan for us, what you call tomorrow. Should be doing it today. But what you call tomorrow, I wonder how many of you made a plan that when tomorrow comes, you can say today, not tomorrow. Today I'm going to do something for God. I wonder how concerned you are. I know you're laying up for a rainy day. I know you're holding back till another time. I know that you're planning to do something great. You just haven't got around to it. I know. But I'm talking about doing something for God. Not just having a will, but having a performance. I wonder how many of you ladies has inspired your husband to the unction of saying, look, why don't you do something for God? I wonder how many in the world today is just lounging around making money just to feed the belly, and that the Bible said all of the labors for the belly and growing fatter and fatter. God said, I'll slay the fattest among you. And that fat don't always pertain to flesh. It pertains to your riches and your wealth. Has to fatten yourself up with all of your securities. Destruction is coming. Gog and Magog's getting ready to go up to the city with unfenced walls. The days of the Gentiles has come to an end. The mysteries of God has been finished. What are we going to do? Let's bow our heads as Tommy comes. Brother Tommy Clark.